Amen. We're going to take our Bibles together this morning, and we're going to find Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We are not going to read the entire chapter this morning because we would have one stream all day. But we are going to look at some important truths, I believe, about our Christian maturity. And here's what we're going to look at this morning. It's a message that I entitled Suffering or Trials and Spiritual Maturity. What does the Bible say about trials and spiritual maturity? Because oftentimes we think the Christian life is, you know, just an even pace growth time in our life, that we just, every day we grow a little bit, but that's not the case. I mean, the same is in a physical sense. You know, you plant some grass. I remember last year I planted some grass at our house, and we planted that grass, and it took forever for it to begin to sprout, and it just seemed like one day it shot up. And sometimes you see, you say that about children as well. You'll say to a child, you know, you just, overnight, you just took off. You know, you grew overnight. And there are times in our life where we have greater growth times or greater growth moments. And I believe it's important for us to understand that trials in our life, they can either bring out the best of a person or the worst in a person. Trials can make you better or bitter, is the old saying. But trials can make you grow. And trials are important to bring us to spiritual maturity. And in Psalm 119, we find that. We see the psalmist, he's going through trials and suffering in his life, and because of those trials, it brought him to another level in his Christian life. And so that's what we want to learn. And I'm not just talking about COVID-19. I'm talking about just every trial in our life. Every moment of suffering has a purpose. The old the song that I remember singing, God never moves without purpose or plan. And all the events in our life, all the events that are happening in our world, you know, it is God. God is on the throne. God is in control. And so we need to remember that. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, and they had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. There's not a Christian on this earth or who has ever lived on this earth who has not gotten to the other side, have not entered into heaven without going through tribulations on this earth. All of us will enter into suffering and trials, and God uses those trials in our life to teach us and to grow us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says, for unto you is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering is to be expected in the Christian life. The Bible says a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:12, to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Don't think this is not normal for a Christian to go through suffering. You know, there's a teaching out there that would say that if you go through suffering, it means you're not right with God. If you go through hard times, if you're not rich and healthy, then you're not right with God. That's not in the Bible at all. I mean, when you read your Bible, the Apostle Paul was a chronic sufferer. He went through a lot of suffering, and God taught him a lot of lessons. And also, you know, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel to the known world. And so God used them in a mighty way, but God had to mold him through trials and suffering. And so don't think it's strange when a Christian goes through the trials and tribulations in their life. Now, most of us act two different ways when trials come into our life. The first way is that our attitude is we hurry for it to be over. We want it to end quickly. And when it's over, we forget all about it.
Suffering comes, a trial comes in our life, and once it's over, we never think about that trial again. Suffering, you know, it plays really, in this individual, it plays little significance to their future. It doesn't change the way they live their life at all. It doesn't impact their spiritual growth. The whole time they're going through a trial is, I just can't wait till this thing is over. I just can't wait till this thing is done. And when it's done, it never impacts their life. Another perspective of trials is that we find ourselves so bound in such an experience that we cannot let it go. The trial becomes, we become consumed by that trial that we never forget it. It becomes the focal point of our whole life. And our personalities become embedded because of that trial. We become bitter. We become resentful. We become angry. And instead of allowing the trial to grow us and to help us, we allow this trial to impact us in a negative way. Someone said the trials in your life or suffering in your life, it can become a mirror or it can become a window. A mirror where you look at your own needs and you look at your own life. I think through this whole COVID-19, we've seen how suffering can make people selfish. And people are sinners and people are inherently selfish. And we see that in our world today as people are only caring about themselves and only looking out for number one. And by the way, our education system has taught children that for years. Just look out for number one. You're the only one that's important, and we're starting to reap what has been sown many, many years. But then we can see trials through a window. We can look through those trials, and we can see the Lord's work. We can see God at work. We can see the needs of other people. And this is what we want to do. We want God to use suffering in our life that we can impact the lives of other people. Now, we're going to get to Psalm 119 in just a moment. It's the thrust of my message. But if you do have your Bible handy, I want you just to jump into the New Testament quickly and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Look what the scripture says. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." I'm glad that our Heavenly Father is the source of all comfort, that He is the one that gives to us everything we need. Verse 4 says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation," all of our suffering, all of our trials. God is the God of comfort, and He gives us comfort. And He helps us in these difficult times. Now notice the reason for this comfort. It may surprise you that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God gives us comfort, and we are to comfort other people. Listen, trials are not to be a mirror where it's me, 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 me. It's all about me. Trials and suffering ought to be a window where you look through that trial and say, hey, listen, how can God work through my life to help other people? How can God work through my life to be an encouragement and a blessing and a comfort to other people? And so there's an opportunity in suffering. And so that's how people respond many times to the tribulations and sufferings in their life. They either forget about it or they're consumed by it. But we want to have a biblical balance. We want the Lord to do the work. And I believe that in Psalm 119, you can jump back there. I believe this is a psalm of maturity because I believe the psalmist is growing. I think he's learning about himself. I think he's learning about his God as he goes through suffering in his life. And so if you have a pen handy, I know you can jump over to the kitchen there, grab a pen real quick. And I want to give you some truths from Psalm 119 I believe will help each of us when it comes to suffering and trials in our life. Number one, we're going to look at verse 67 in Psalm 119. And I want us to think about this. Suffering reveals our spiritual need. Suffering reveals our spiritual need. Look what the Bible says in verse 67. The scripture says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept my word." Here we see the psalmist was enjoying the material prosperity that was given to him. He was heading in the wrong direction of his life. His life was, in his own attitude, was full and satisfying. He had everything that he ever could ever have and ever could need. Everything was going wonderful. But until this affliction came on his life, until this affliction came in his life, he realized his spiritual need. And I think when suffering comes in our life, when we think of the crisis that is in our world today, it's an opportunity to look to the Lord. It's an opportunity to look at our own life and see where we are. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been in the habit of taking church for granted. You know, and now we don't have the opportunity to meet together. And I can honestly tell you, I miss it. I miss it deeply. I miss coming together and talking with each of you and fellowshipping and laughing and having a time of fellowship. And, you know, in a crisis like this, it helps us to realize what we have and to never lose sight of the opportunity and never lose sight of the blessings that God gives to us. You know, the hymn writer penned these words, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." We are all prone to wander. And when sufferings come into our life, it really shows to us our spiritual need. And it resets our life and it helps us to see the Lord and to look to the Lord during these difficult times. Don't be consumed by the crisis in our world today. Listen, allow this suffering or crisis to draw us nearer to the Lord, that we would see God in all of this. Now, not all suffering is intended as a warning against spiritual decline, you know, but the reality is that all suffering teaches us that we need the Lord. You know, when we go through suffering, we learn to pray more. We learn to trust more. We learn to depend on God more. And so suffering brings us nearer to the Lord and teaches us to draw near to God. Tribulations and trials reveal our spiritual need. And here the psalmist said it in his own words. He says, "Listen, I was going well in my life. At least I thought I was going good and everything was well. And then I got afflicted and I saw my need. I saw where I was going astray. And I turned back to the Lord." Trials can reveal our spiritual needs. Number two. Let's think about this. Number two, it's in Psalm 119 and verse 71. Verse 71, look what the Bible says. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, that's not something you hear every day. Well, it was good for me to go through this suffering. It was good for me to go through this crisis. Maybe this is what's going to happen. You're going to look back a year from now, and you're going to look back at 2020, the COVID-19, and the disruptions that really upon the whole world, and you're going to say, "It was good for me to go through that because I learned some lessons that could not be taught any other way but for me to go through that crisis, for me to go through that suffering, to go through that time of my life." And so this is what the psalmist is saying. Suffering teaches us the way of God. Number two, you can write it down. Psalm 119, verse 71. "Suffering teaches us the way of God. It is good for me that I have been afflicted." This truly is a mark of spiritual maturity, that we are able to see beyond affliction and to see the hand of God. Isn't this the example of Joseph? I mean, Joseph was going to be a leader within God's plan, but Joseph had to go through some suffering first. He had to go through some difficulty first. And he was betrayed by his brothers. I mean, he was put in prison for something he didn't do. He was forgotten. He was left alone. I mean, talk about a crisis in his life, suffering after suffering after suffering. And then when God finally promoted him, we really see the spiritual maturity in his life when he said, listen, to his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. That's spiritual maturity. To see beyond the trial, to see beyond the circumstance, and to know that God is at work. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28 in your Bible. And I want us to consider this passage of scripture. Isaiah chapter 28. And look what the Bible says. So Isaiah chapter 28 verse 23 is where we'll begin our reading. Verse 23, the Bible says, give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my voice and my speech. God is speaking to his people here. He says, doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clogs of the ground when he hath made plain the face thereof? Doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? Now, the illustration there is of a farmer. And a farmer, Isaiah 28, verse 23 to 26, a farmer is planting the seed here to get a harvest. The purpose of the farmer is to work hard to break up that ground and to plant the seed because he wants the ground to produce fruit. And God is saying here in verse 26, he says, for his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. Now notice that expression there. God teaches him. And in this passage of scripture, God is trying to teach his people that he has a purpose in everything that he does. God doesn't allow things to happen in your life or my life. God doesn't even allow things to happen on the world without a purpose. And so we know this from the Bible, that this COVID-19 situation, it didn't catch God by surprise. You know, God didn't go to bed last night because God didn't wake up this morning because God didn't go to bed last night. God is eternal, and God is in control, and God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and all that he does, as a farmer would plant seed on purpose to have a crop, God is also planting, and God is also working in the lives of people in this world, and also in your life and my life as Christians. God is at work. And for you to be consumed by a crisis without seeing the hand of God, it just shows a lack of spiritual maturity. God wants us to see him in everything that is done. And this truly is a mark of maturity. Suffering teaches us the way of God. God's in control. I cannot stress that enough. God is in control. And we need to learn from what God is teaching us. I hope you learned the lesson. I hope I learned the lesson from what God is teaching us from this crisis. We don't want God to have to teach it again. Amen. I hope you learned what God is teaching. God is teaching. God is showing us. I think God is telling the world, giving them an opportunity to come to him. He's showing the world that his word is truth. You know, the Bible says in the last days that there will be perilous times in the last days. There will be pestilence upon the earth. I mean, the Bible is truth. And we see it. We get to see with our own eyes the word of God being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And this ought to teach us that, listen, what the Bible says about the tribulation is true. You know, people say, well, how in the world can all these events come to pass? How in the world can all these events actually take place? Well, I think we know how all of these events are going to take place, because we see just a small sample size of it in our world today. And so God is showing the world that he exists and that he loves them, and he's given them an opportunity to turn to him. Listen, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the very fact that Jesus didn't come back this morning was because he wants people to get saved today. He wants people to trust in him today. On our radio program this morning on Timeless Truths,
I was talking about the gift of God and how important the gift of God is, and how you can receive the gift of God. And if you're listening to this live stream, or if you listen to this message later, wherever it is, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then I invite you to put your faith and trust in Him today. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Where were you last 2 weeks ago? Did you ever think 2 weeks ago that we would be in this unofficial lockdown? I guess you could call it an unofficial lockdown. I mean, I would never think that. I was going about my business as normal, and this is where we are today. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what this afternoon holds. And so that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Trust in Him today before it is too late. God is teaching us. The Holy Spirit is at work. And if we avoid the problems of our life, if we push away the suffering of our life and ignore what God is teaching us, then we are not going to learn what God is teaching. We're not going to grow as God wants us to grow. The psalmist said here, that I might learn thy statutes, that I might learn thy ways. Now it's interesting. This is what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying, listen, I knew about God intellectually. I knew about God in my mind. I had the Bible verses memorized, and I knew that God never leaves me nor forsakes me. But now I have the opportunity to learn that God keeps His word. And not only intellectually do I get to learn this, but also I get to learn it by experience. There's a big difference between knowing something and experiencing something. Hearing about something and actually living that or experiencing that. That's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience God's goodness for yourself. And when we go through trials, the psalmist is saying, listen, I knew about God's goodness. I knew about God's comfort. I knew about God's grace. But now I am experiencing that for myself. I am living that every single day. And that's a wonderful blessing. Hey, listen, I want you to write in the comments if you're live streaming or if you're watching live stream right now. I want you to write in the comments what God has taught you through the COVID-19, the experiences that God is teaching you, His comfort, His grace, His love, His provision, whatever God is teaching you through this circumstance. That's the most important part of this crisis, is what God teaches you through all of it. And this is what the psalmist learned in his life. He learned that God truly is good. And he heard about it and he knew about it, but now he experienced it for himself. And he learned the statutes of the Lord. He learned the truths and promises of God. Number three, we're going to go to Psalm 119 and verse 75. Psalm 119, verse 75. And we're going to look at suffering shows us the faithfulness of God. Suffering shows to us the faithfulness of God. Verse 75 says this. It says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now, at first glance, when we look at this verse, we might think that the writer, the psalmist, is saying that he was simply getting what he deserved, but he didn't write here, in justice thou afflicted me. What the promise here of the word of God is that God's faithfulness was clearly seen in the affliction of the psalmist's life, and that God never left him nor forsook him. You know, I saw a meme on Facebook, and they said, you know, in this world of social distancing, I'm so glad that God doesn't social distance himself from us. Amen to that. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And God is ever faithful. God is ever faithful. And this is what the psalmist learned in his life as he's growing, as he's taking steps. He trusts the Lord. He trusts the Lord with his life. And he saw the faithfulness of God. He recognized God's faithfulness, that God employed these trials in order to fulfill God's will in his life.
that God had a purpose and God had a plan, and God didn't just do it for the sake of doing it. God didn't just, you know, allow these trials to happen just for the sake of allowing them to happen in his life. But God truly had a purpose, and God truly had a will for his life. And this is what God was doing in the psalmist's life, and he was trusting in him. He was trusting in him, and it's a wonderful blessing to know that God is faithful. God is faithful. I go back to the life of Joseph and how God was faithful in Joseph's life. And friend, listen to me. God is faithful in your life as well. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as we wrap up this message this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want us to think about for just a moment the Apostle Paul and his spiritual growth. Because the Apostle Paul went from praying, you know, 3 intense seasons of prayer that God would take a trial away from his life, that his attitude was just let this thing pass, to a place in his life where he was learning from the suffering and growing from the suffering. And this is truly a sign of spiritual maturity. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2. Look what the Bible says. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such as one caught up in the third heaven. You know the story in Acts chapter 16, when the Apostle Paul was dragged out of Lystra, Derbe, his home, Timothy's hometown, and he was stoned, left for dead. Bible teachers believe that this is when the Apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven. We don't know that for sure, but that's what they believe. He says in verse 3, I knew such a man. By the way, he's talking about himself here. He's speaking in the third person, but he's talking about himself. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words that is not lawful for a man to utter. As such a one I will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Again, I don't believe this was 3 prayers. I believe it was 3 seasons of intense prayer. And he said unto me, this is God speaking to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And by the way, when the Lord speaks to the Apostle Paul, as the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, and as you are a child of God, as he speaks directly here to the Apostle Paul, he is also speaking directly to you and me who know the Lord. His grace is sufficient for us. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities. Now, how does a man go from praying 3 intense seasons of prayer that God would take away a thorn to now he's taking pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses? For Christ's sake. I'll tell you the reason why. Because he realized that when he is weak, then Christ can be strong through him. He realized that it's through crisis that he grows. He realized that it's through crisis and through suffering that he gets to that next step in the Christian life. You know, if everything is just wonderful in your life, you will never get to where God wants you to be. You know, in order for God to do his work, we have to go through that refining fire. And we have an opportunity, I believe, in the midst of this COVID-19 to show that peace and that comfort that God has given to us, to show that to a world who is craving for it, who is searching for it. We have opportunity. And I believe it's a wonderful opportunity to know in our hearts that God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. I heard the story away a long time ago at Crown College. They had a group of men that were going out singing, and they were killed in a terrible accident. The car was destroyed. All of their belongings were thrown all over the ground. And
as a police officer in that town who knew the college and knew the pastor very well, he walked through the midst of that accident scene, and everything that those young men had were just destroyed. There was nothing left. But there was one thing that was completely intact. It wasn't destroyed. It wasn't scratched. It wasn't anything. It was the CD that they went around, the CD that they were presenting and promoting, and the songs that they were singing. And the name of that CD, it was laying on the ground, you know, in this terrible accident, this terrible crisis, and this terrible time of suffering. Everything destroyed, but this CD was completely intact. And the name of the CD was God Doesn't Make Mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. This is a poem that someone wrote. They said, My father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll surely trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he makes no mistakes. We're talking about learning to cope with suffering is a necessity in your spiritual maturity. Because if your attitude of crisis is, I just want it to be over and forget about it when it's done, or if your attitude of crisis is that you're just going to hold on to it and you're going to be consumed by it and you're never going to allow the Lord to do his work in your life, listen, our attitude must be, I'm going to allow God to do his work through the suffering and crisis of my life so that I can be a blessing to other people, so that I can grow to be spiritually mature to where the Lord would have me to be. And I'm not talking about an easy step. I'm talking about an important one. And Christians who have come to that place in their life, who are calm and collective, you know, and people will say, well, you know, during time of crisis, they'll say, well, you're just not concerned about it. Listen, don't confuse not being concerned with having comfort and knowing that God's in control and that he's going to meet the needs of our heart. And the psalmist learned those lessons in his life. He realized that suffering reveals our spiritual need. He realized that suffering teaches us God's way. And he realized that suffering shows us all that God is faithful, God's in control, and God doesn't make mistakes. And I hope that you can see through the cloud of COVID-19 the hand of God to know that he is on the throne and he's in control. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. And Lord, I pray for each one that is live streaming this service this morning. I pray, Lord, that your blessing be upon them. Keep them safe and keep them well. Lord, I pray you would help us to, Lord, trust in you and lean on you, to find our strength from you in a time of weakness. And may you be glorified. May we take these days as an opportunity to grow into spiritual maturity. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each of us. I pray that you would meet the needs of our church during this time, the spiritual needs of your people, and may you be glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of announcements before I let you go this morning. Thank you so much for joining us for our live stream. We're going to be back live streaming on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and so make sure that you're there. I'll be live streaming on Facebook throughout the week. If you're not on Facebook, if you've not liked our page on Facebook, make sure you do that. Also, Remember that our church still has regular bills and mortgage payments, and I know we can't meet together formally, but you know the church is not the building, the church is the people, and you still need to be faithful to your giving and your tithes. And so we set up e-transfer. You can e-transfer your tithes and offerings to our church, KitchenerBaptist.org/e-transfer for information. I believe it's give@KitchenerBaptist.org to e-transfer your tithes and offering. Or if you don't feel comfortable doing that, you can send a check to the church and we'll make sure it gets to the right place. But God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you Wednesday at 7 o'clock.